Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Quinn Tu, your host of Doing Good is Good for Business, and our topic today is taking good care of yourself. And my leading gentleman today is Derek Sabori from COSM, a company that is both a certified B Corp and a legal benefit corporation. I've invited Derek on to talk about why he started his business as both a certified B Corp and as a benefit corporation, when it's mainly a business focused on men's athletic wear, so should be a really interesting conversation. Good afternoon, Derek.
Hi, Quinn. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. It's my pleasure to have you on. So I would like first for you to share with the listeners how you even became aware of this social enterprise space in the first place.
Let's see. That's a great place to start. I think my journey started mostly as when I was an employee at my former employer. It was Volcom, a brand called Volcom. And I was put in charge of their environmental sustainability work. And it was kind of this long journey that kind of really grew organically there at the company. And so they, Volcom is a brand that was kind of started in the surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding industry, kind of combining art and music, and environmental sustainability wasn't really something that had been on the company's radar. The company was founded in 1991. And so when I came on board, after I'd been there for many years, it just started to be a conversation that a few of us started to have. And it was something that I really gravitated towards. And I eventually became the head of this little tiny environmental program. And that eventually led for me to be the global vice president of sustainability there. But all that said, it was during that journey of learning all the things, I guess all the impacts that the company had on the environment throughout our supply chain, just what impacts our products and our material choices had. And then as I went looking for solutions, the B Corp solution, social enterprises and things were definitely something that came up in my findings. And I wanted to, I was continuously interested in learning more and applying those to my future careers, I guess.
So what was it when you were doing sustainability work that appealed to you about B Corps and benefit corporations?
I think it was the community aspect of it, and realizing that there were other brands that were already headed down this way. And not, it's easy, I think, when you're in a big company to maybe feel like you're swimming up river, and also kind of feel alone and feel like it's really hard to make change. And to be able to look over to the B Corp community and to see other brands that had already done it or were doing it, and to know that, hey, if they could make changes, then this company could as well. Similar to the idea of, you know, I read a book called Mid-Course Correction by Ray Anderson. And it was just that concept of knowing that big companies of all sizes, big and small, they can change, and they can change their course. And so that B Corp community was really inspiring to me. And I had continuously tried to push Volcom over to say, hey guys, here's a place we could be, and we could have somebody come in and certify us, give us some guidance on what we could be doing better. So it didn't catch on, but those are my earliest days of learning about the movement.
Wow. So When did you start Cosm?
So after 19 years at the brand Volcom, where I, you know, kind of focused on everything from manufacturing and production and merchandising and design and planning and analysis, and then that sustainability role, I decided to leave the company to go start, to go along with my co-founding partner. His name was Troy Eckert. He was at the brand Volcom years ago with me as well. And he had this idea to start to kind of fill a void that we felt was in this space, kind of providing goods for men is where we started, looking for yoga gear. Yoga gear, maybe that had a different look and a feel, and we wanted something that was kind of in line with the look and feel of the style that we were used to, but also probably more importantly, a brand that was built the way we wanted, that we would have built it now knowing what we know, basically knowing that B Corps exist, that you can create your company as a benefit corp and lock in those bylaws, that you can choose better materials and fibers and processes and manufacturing partners all along the way. So we really wanted to start something and do it the right way. And that was in 2015 is when I left. So we launched the company at the end of 2016 and kind of did our full year of business in 2017. And then we've just kind of been going along since then.
Wow, that's quite a journey, and quite a bit that you've unpacked there. So as you were mentioning earlier, you know, the idea that companies large and small can shift and adjust mid-course, since you now have a bit of a track record running your own company, what have you seen as the challenges that has forced you to shift and adjust?
The challenges are always, and so I still do consulting with other brands and companies to help them kind of move forward, either create or move forward their sustainability strategies. And especially if you're talking about that mid-course correction and trying to change the way you're doing business, sustainability and sustainable business isn't the cheaper way, right? If it was, that's just how we would have done things. But we've had this habit,
right?
This thirst for chasing the, the cheapest cost and not really, you know,
right,
not paying attention to the externalities associated with our industry. So it's usually cost, and it's usually the idea of disrupting your supply chain and changing partners or getting your partners to change. And then also a lot of brands will have fear of communicating and feeling like, hey, what do I tell my customers about the rest of the products that have not switched over yet? So they sort of get stuck in some fear about marketing and messaging and disrupting their supply chain and their margins.
Those are, I think, evergreen challenges that every business space. So I think you got
right.
A lot of people shaking and nodding their head in agreement there. So as you ran and operated Cosm, what were some of the things that you saw made it different being a benefit corporation and a certified B Corp?
I guess the difference is, you know, one of like our current campaign is this idea that, we've got a different look and feel. And so I'm not sure if this is the right answer, but essentially for us, it's like, we're trying to create by way of doing things more sustainably and choosing more sustainable, fibers and materials. We end up having a product that doesn't look like you would normally expect, let's say especially for athletic gear. Or wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're using a natural fiber for our shorts. So our yoga short, which you're typically going to find in polyester or nylon, ours is made with organic cotton and hemp. Our shirts that are meant for yoga are made with upcycled cotton and recycled polyester, the recycled PET from recovered fibers out of Spain. So it looks like a regular t-shirt, but I think a lot of people are used to looking for something, it needs to have stretch, it needs to be synthetic, it needs to be nylon or wicking or polyester. Our story is that, hey, these goods perform just as well, if not better, and they have more natural fibers in them. They have less reliance on fossil fuels, and there's a host of problems that are associated with the apparel industry. So I think it's just that idea of the look and feel. But for us, there wasn't anything different because we started that way, and we never really looked back. Mm-hmm. Every fiber, everything we use in the line only has a sustain. We only put it in the line if it has a great sustainability story. So we're not having to change anything. We just kind of keep marching forward.
So are you also trying to source your materials locally, or are you looking all over the globe for sustainable material?
The nice thing about it's a little bit of a mix. So the nice thing about my background is I had established a lot of relationships and in the apparel industry and mostly on the sustainability side. So when we formed the company, it was really easy to kind of turn to existing relationships and friends to help source our fibers. But for example, our recover yarns, like I said, it's that blend of upcycled cotton scraps mixed with recycled PET. Those fibers come out of Spain. We bring in those fibers, we knit the goods here in Los Angeles, and then cut and sew in Los Angeles. And our short fabric is spun and woven in China, and we import that fabric, dye it here in Los Angeles, and then cut it and sew it in Los Angeles. So all of our manufacturing is in Los Angeles, or some of it is in New Jersey, but some of our fibers and some of our fabrics are imported at this time. So it's a little bit of a mix of a global supply chain and a domestic one. But one of the nice things I think about our brand that we've done, though, is we call it an open book business model. So for every style that you shop on, you can click and see the story of where every step of the way, where it came from, who provided it to us, and how much it cost. So we really try to be completely transparent with our traceable supply chain,
yeah,
which I think is unique and fun to do.
Yeah, that is very unique. I know I'm aware of a few other companies that have something similar, and I don't mm-hmm. know the extent of their disclosure, though, if it's every single step of the way or if it's generally, this piece of clothing was made by this cooperative in this country and using the following material. So it does sound like yours is a very in-depth and detail of every step of the process. So I have to ask the sustainability guy, what is the most interesting or exciting development in terms of fiber in the, most people call it the fast fashion industry? Because we all know that there's a lot of things that just get tossed out and not functional after a few uses because they're so cheaply made and quality is not something that people pay attention to. And that's the antithesis of everything that you've tried to do in your career. So are there any developments that have you excited that things are going to be moving in a better direction?
There are. I mean, I think there are, but it also is really complicated and it's not easy to address. But I think the movements that are happening are, I think, in sort of the industry-wide collectives that are going on, whether it was the work that the Sustainable Apparel Coalition did with the HIG Index, or the work that the Ellen MacArthur Foundation is doing with their commitment to circularity, or the work that Global Fashion Agenda is doing with doing these great industry-wide reports and gathering information and taking a snapshot of the industry. I think that the education and sort of the collaborative approach that is taking place, I think that's the most promising, because as we get into the material impacts of the apparel supply chain, looking at every tier, whether it's tier four, which is your raw materials or your processing or your manufacturing, your packaging, your distribution, they all come with a really long list of environmental impacts. And it depends what you want to look at as well, right? Are you concerned with emissions, water use, water pollution, ethical issues? So it's hard to identify any one thing that is solved. There's no silver bullet for any of those. I do like, so for me, it's a collaborative approach that's going on. And I also like this idea, though, of some of the lab-grown fibers that are starting to happen, like bolt threads, does a lab-grown, like, does a spider silk. They're doing also a faux leather or leather alternative. I think those have a lot of promise, and those just feel so, to me, that's what the industry and the apparel industry has been waiting for, these new things that just completely disrupt things, because we've been relying on land resources and animals and just these concepts that may or may that aren't really sustainable as population grows and our demand for new products continues to grow. So I think those two things, that the hope for sustainable lab grown solutions, and then the collaboration and the awareness that is really going on, I think, in the industry is great.
Yeah, I am so glad I asked you that question, because I wasn't even thinking anywhere remotely on the answers you've hit upon. But they're great answers, because they're definitely things that we have more control over, and we can do more as opposed to try to source a particular natural fiber or develop something synthetic that always takes up some kind of environmental resource. So cool. Wanted to go back to an earlier point that you made in answering a question. You said that you do some sustainability consulting as well. Talk to us a little bit about that. Like, what does that look like?
For us, it worked out well because, one, when we started COSM, it was a startup that we funded ourselves. So it wasn't a venture-backed, brand. And so we've just sort of been building it on our own, which meant that we had to continue to bring in income. And so that was my method, was to take what I had learned and then to help other brands. And I still do a lot of work with my former employer, with Volcom. They're one of my biggest clients. I work with smaller brands and some nonprofits, but mostly just to help them with either creating strategy, educating staff, doing research. So, the question always that people always have is, well, which is better, or what's the right way? And even that is not an easy answer to give. And I always just, my reply is always that it depends, it depends on what you're considering and what information you have and how much you want to disclose and what areas of impact you're really concerned with. So I really enjoy the teaching part as well. And I teach a sustainable fashion course as well in Orange County here in Costa Mesa. I'm at Orange Coast College. So I love kind of whatever I can learn, whatever I can share with people that are building brands, students that are coming into the space as well, or sharing even with our quote unquote competitors. I have no problem with, that's why we have our open book business model, because if we found a solution that works and we're calling it quote unquote, more sustainable, then let's not hide it. Let's share it with everybody and get the word out there. So I think that addresses what I do.
Yeah, and I think that your whole philosophy goes back to the ethos of social enterprise being a very collaborative and sharing space where everybody is trying to do something together for the common good. So, if you find a solution that works, there's no need to prevent somebody else from doing the same thing just because they happen to be a competitor, right? That's, at least for me, one of the joys of seeing social enterprises flourish is that there is this sense of collaboration and people are all working towards the greater good.
I agree, and I think that word joy is good, and that kind of takes me back to your earlier question of what led me, how did I find B Corps and why did I decide to pursue them, but it was really exciting, and I think really inspiring to know, and it just felt different. It felt like instead of kind of competing in business at the just kind of the standard things that you're used to competing in. This was an opportunity to do something different and contribute to something better. And really, once I learned what the problems were, I knew I had to be a part of the solution. I didn't want to be a part of the problem. I wanted to contribute to the solution as well. So I think that's what this movement is all about.
Awesome. We're so glad that there's another company out there that has these beliefs and try to practice them as often as you can. So talk to me a little bit about COSM's future. What's in store?
For us, the goal is to reach more people, to share our goods with those that are in a similar situation that we were, right? Looking for a look and a feel that was different. I mean, when you go out looking for a pair of yoga shorts or any athletic gear, you are flooded with, you know, there's great brands out there, world-class brands, but they all have a very similar look. And it's that polyester, synthetic, nylon, ultra stretchy look. And I can't say that those don't work well or that it's not, I get it, there are many of us that are ready for something different and want a product that we know is part of the sustainable fashion portfolio. We call it slow fashion. And they just want something different. And so we want to be there for them. And especially if you are a yogi or you're practicing mindfulness or you're really committed to the B Corp movement, it can be tough to find things that align with your values. And so for the future is we want to be that brand that represents those values that you have. And so that when that represent you being a mindful person or that represent you being somebody on a yogic path. So there aren't many brands, I think, that represent that aspect of us. So all brands represent different things, workwear, surfwear, skatewear, et cetera. But for us, we want to be the brand that reminds people to be thoughtful and mindful and kind of that badge that says, hey, that's what I do and that's what I'm into. So I think a big part of it is just telling our story and aligning with the story that others are already participating in.
Sure. And so I have to ask, because we touched upon menswear a few times, is that the only thing that COSM produce, or are you also in the women's wear for yoga clothing as well?
Well, we've evolved our messaging a little bit because when we started, we definitely were a men's yoga wear, kind of men's yoga goods, because we wanted to fill that niche. But since then, because we had so many women responding, we haven't changed the look and the feel of the line necessarily, but we've taken away the men's part of our line. So when you come to us, it doesn't say men's anywhere. It's just yoga goods.
Uh-huh.
And I think we found that even women, they might be ready to move on from something besides their yoga leggings that they've been wearing for so long and a t-shirt look or, kind of a basic sweatshirt look. So we're, that idea of just being a unisex line is something that really appeals to us and not trying to cater either which way, just kind of creating a nice standard look that might work for, for a little bit of everybody.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was getting excited there for a little bit going, oh, maybe I should look and see if there's something I can buy and, participate in. Cause I definitely love the idea of being more mindful with the clothes that I put on and being in alignment with the company's values. And I can only imagine all the women who are in the yoga space who would have approached you and said, hey, can you do something for the female population?
Yeah, and they do. And we might, we might edge a little more towards things that are a little more, that would be considered more women's market. But for now, I think we'll just kind of try to stay in the middle, and we will gladly welcome and showcase and promote women wearing our goods as well, which we've done a few times, probably not enough. We're not limited to just men. So I'm excited to get more feedback from women and see what they would hope and expect from us.
Sure. That sounds like a great thing to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if you have any observations from your classes that you're teaching on sustainability and what are you seeing as a demand from the up-and-coming entrepreneurs who are interested in getting into this space?
I think they are feeling the same way that I did 10 or 15 years ago when I started kind of dabbling in this space and first being turned on to this and watching An Inconvenient Truth and, you know, learning about the impacts of business in general. But they had the same feeling of like, why did nobody tell us this? And why are we just learning about it now? And my response is always like, well, hey, better now than, you know, than later. But you're right. it's not something that's taught. And so this idea of having, so we break this class into three parts. There's a general sustainability class that's just sort of focused on getting the language right around even climate change and natural capital and ecosystem services and why biodiversity is important and reading cradle to cradle. And then the second one is focused on the apparel industry. And the third one is kind of a practical class where they get real world experience and do their own business case. So I think it's that idea of just, they feel like they don't know enough. They're shocked at the things they're learning. And then asking me the same thing, why is everybody not doing more? And we just sort of look at each other and say, that's why we're here, guys. This is what this is about is for us to now go out into the world and tell more people. And there's a lot of good things happening. There definitely is, but there's so much more that needs to be done. And there's a big gap in information and education around what sustainability means and is from an environmental, social, cultural standpoint. There's a lot to unpack in those topics. So I think the education gap is a big part of it.
Yeah, and I certainly can relate to the frustrations of your students. You know, because I still feel it. I still feel when I talk to other business owners about social enterprises, many of them are still saying, what is this? And how come I've never heard of this? And, you know,
right.
The movement in the B Corp world is definitely gathering force, but it hasn't hit public consciousness yet. And I'm hopeful that as you get more and more students, you know, you've planted the seed and they may not be ready to do something with it now, but 5 years down the line or some, you know, at some other point in their life, they could take that knowledge to good use, or they may be ready to take on the world now and solve some of the problems that we're facing, which is going to be even better for all of us.
That's right. That's right. And you nailed it too. I guess my hope is, and maybe it's a blind faith or naive approach, but I do hope that it becomes, you know, kind of mainstream and where these concepts aren't so wild to certain people, and that it just becomes a case of like, well, of course that's how you do business. That's just how we should. And so
Right. Sometimes
I get frustrated that there's even a profession around this idea of getting people to do business better and use it as a force for good, as we say. But I guess it is what it is. So I often wonder what I'll do after we finish this and everything goes according to plan, which I really hope it does. I won't give you my opinion on it, but I guess I'll stay hopeful.
We'll be sipping Mai Tais on the beach and, you know, working on getting our daily quota of vitamin D.
There we go. I love that. That sounds like a great plan.
So, for listeners who are inspired by what you shared with us today or want to contact you about COSM and get their hands on some apparels, how would you like them to reach you?
All of our social media tags at COSM are at the COSM, THEKOZM. So they can reach out, they can direct message me on Instagram. I manage that account or through Facebook or through the website. Or they can find me at The Underswell. That's my consulting line. And all my contact information is there. That's just The Underswell, all one word. And they can find me. And I'm pretty easy to find on social media as well. So whether it's Twitter or Instagram or LinkedIn, I'm pretty active on as well. So people can use any of those to get a hold of me and ask questions or just see any of the work we're up to and the products that we offer at COSM.
Awesome. So that's our show for today. thanks so much for being on, Derek. I really enjoyed speaking with you and learning a little bit more about what you're up to and how you're changing the world for a better place with your business. I really, really appreciate all of the work and effort that you've put into it.
Well, the thanks go both ways. Thank you, and thank you for the great work you're doing, and I appreciate you having me on the show and highlighting our story. Thank you, Quinn.
You're most welcome. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and across the globe. We are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thanks for listening, and remember, when your business does good, it's good for your people, your planet, and your profit. So keep doing good, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.